had services on, they had services for their aunt this week, and last week were services for their cousin. So we want to lift the grieving family up. Also, the prayer for the Mack family for conflict resolution and for the husband who is in intensive care. The order of today's call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Tracy Lawrence. Declaration today by Pastor Lavelle. First prayer warrior is Diane. Second is Lisa Porter, followed by Eric. And closing today is Sister Carol. I'll repeat that. Scripture today will be read by Sister Tracy. Declaration by Pastor Lavelle. First prayer warrior is Diane, followed by Lisa and Eric. And Sister Carol will close us out. Don't forget to mute your line to maintain the integrity of the call and for a clear, interruption-free playback. I now pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading from Psalms 91, 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. May the Lord add His blessings upon this reading, and may we be hearers and doers as I now pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. God, again, has shown us another expression of His love, another opportunity to be on the line, another day to just be alive. We thank God. We're in the land of the dying. We're on our way to the land of the living. Amen. It's been a while since I've done this, but I'm honored when I was asked to do it late last night. Let's remember to keep Dion and Josiah in prayer. Thank you, Renee, for hosting and greeting, and then Sister Tracy for that awesome scripture. I want to get started. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to those who are his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, who have record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he knew. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." That's what I kind of want to deal with real quick, the time is at hand. I want to pick it up real quick for the next two words. He says, "At his servant John," and this word "servant" means so much, and it should mean much to all of us. In spite of the resume of John, the Bible calls him a servant, and he played a low key in his penmanship, if you will, throughout his penmanship. For when you read all of other pensmen in the Bible, they tell you who they are before they tell you what the book is even about. For instance, when you read all of Paul's writings, he opens every one of his epistles by saying, "Paul, an apostle; Paul, a servant; Paul, a prisoner." When you read the epistle of Peter, before you go anywhere, he tells you who he is. He says, "Peter." When you read the epistle of James, he opens up by saying, "James." Before you get any further, he deals with that. But John was a little bit different. John carried you through the Gospel of John without mentioning his name. He came close once at the sepulcher when he said that other disciple outran Simon Peter, but he still wouldn't call his name. And then when he penned 1st, 2nd, 3rd epistle of John, instead of he calling himself John the Apostle, he called himself an elder and still would not even mention his name. And now in Revelation, his name is mentioned 4 times in the complete book. He mentions it first in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it was by his servant John. He mentions his name in the second time in verse 4 by saying, John to the 7 churches. And he said, just in case you don't know who I'm talking about, in verse 9, he makes it personal by saying, I, John. And then he ends Revelation in chapter 22 by mentioning his name one last time. And even by that, he doesn't place a handle on his name. He doesn't say Apostle John or Prophet John or Archbishop John. He just says John. I mean, he acts as though he was the only John in the Bible, but there were at least 2 other Johns. There was John the Baptist that was beheaded by Herod, and then the writer of the second synoptic gospel, Mark. His name was John Mark. And then the writer of this passage, John, who was the beloved disciple. And, of course, he places a handle in front of his name, not apostle, but servant. And the word servant is the word doulos in the Greek that comes from the word meaning slave. He said, I am a slave. I am a slave of the master. And by being a master slave, it meant that he didn't depend upon himself for anything. He placed all of his trust and confidence in the Lord. And then he says in verse 2, who bear record, and this word record comes from the idea of court talk, if you will. He carries us to court, and he pulls the record off, and all of us on the line should be concerned about, and that is the word. He says, who bears record of the word. And I think many times we play the word down. We play the Bible, the word down, and don't give value to the word. That's why I have problems going to musicals all the time, because I'm a word preacher. I don't have no problems with musicals, don't get me wrong, but because I think music is great, but I'm a word preacher. And there's nothing that you can place in your hands in your life any more pregnant or any more powerful or any more delivering than the word itself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration. And the Greek word for inspiration, listen, is called theos pneumar. Let me cut it up for you. It's a compound word. The word theos is the Greek word for God. Pneumar is where you get the word pneumar, is where you get the word pneumonia, but it has reference to the breath of God. You see the same word in Genesis 2 and 7, and he formed man from the dust of the ground, breathing to his nostrils the breath. The Hebrew word is ruah, which stands for wind. It stands for breath. It stands for spirit, meaning when God made man, he formed it, he configured it, he shaped it, he stood it up, he formed it, and then he breathed into its nostrils, and it became him, and it was only after the breath of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, these men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And you see this word, as quiet as it's kept, it's really actually the breath of God. You see, if you get a deflated balloon, take it, and you blow your breath into that balloon, and then deflate it or expand it, tie a knot in it, and release it and let it go, somebody might pick it up somewhere else. But if they get that balloon and check the DNA, the molecules from the balloon will have your breath in it. And if you get the Word of God, take it to your divine laboratory. Check the DNA. You will discover that this Word has the breath of God. And that's why we should never downplay this book, meaning the Bible, because it's alive. And if you want to live, then you must put life with life, because the Word is the life. It is the breath of God. Watch this. He says, who bear record of the Word. And the Word is universal in its appeal. It's reasonable in its teaching. It's reliable in its promise. It's doable in its conflict, far-reaching in its vision. It's accurate in its prophecy. It's simple in its application. It's new and modern in its statesmanship. But you have to read it to be wise. You have to believe it to be saved. And you have to practice it to be holy, because it's a pilgrim's staff, it's a pilot's compass, it's a Christian's chariot, it's a soldier's sword. It contains Old and New Testaments, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. The Old Testament conceals, but the New Testament reveals. The Old Testament promises, but the New Testament produces. The Old Testament localizes, but the New Testament universalizes. There are 1,189 chapters. There are 31,214 verses. There's 773,746 words. There are 3,566,480 letters in the makeup of this one word. And that's why it should be exciting to us when we hear the word, and we should never let anything or anybody distract us from hearing the word. And I don't care who you are, nothing should be as important as the word. I mean, soap opera shouldn't be that important. Movies shouldn't be that important. Gossip shouldn't even be that important. Whoever walks in while you're in church, whoever walks out, should not be as important as the word. There are two Greek words for the word word. One word is logos, and the other one is rhema. And they work side by side. That's why the Lord in Revelation 1 and 16, the Bible said, and when Jesus showed up, he came with a two-edged sword. Two-edged is the word distemi in the Greek. Dis, watch this. Dis is the word for two or twin. Stomar is the Greek word for mouth, which means when he spoke with two mouths. Now, Pastor Jones, why would he need two mouths to speak? Because there are two words for the Greek word word. One is logos, the other is rhema. And it's important that we have the logos in us before the rhema can come out of us. Let me give you a window real quick. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's the logos. But Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's the rhema. Whenever Jesus got ready to deal with Satan, he would always use the rhema. In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's the rhema. Now, here's how the rhema works. If the logos is in there, the Holy Spirit will regurgitate and bring the logos into a rhema. You see, when I need something from God and I don't have time to look it up in my concordance, the Holy Spirit will text me a rhema word. In essence, here's what I'm dealing with. For instance, Dion is at the hospital and she needs help and can't find help. Now, there. And while I'm looking for help, the Holy Spirit will text me Psalms 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills which cometh my help, knowing my help cometh from the Lord. Here I am depressed, and I can't stop crying. And while I'm in my depressed state, the Holy Spirit will text me. Psalm 30:5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I mean, after I go to the grave to bury my son, I turn around to bury my brother. I bury my daddy and my sister. I lose my job. Sickness invades my privacy. My son gets in trouble. I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit will text me Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together. We ought to thank God for his word. And that's why the word must be handled right, because when anyone serves the word, it's like going to an expensive restaurant and you have a waiter and waitresses come to serve you. Because whenever one comes to church and you come to hear the word, it's the bread of life that's literally being served. And when you come to eat, you need to be served right. That's why you ought to treat the servant, right, that's serving you the word, because nothing can change your life like the word of God. The Bible says if you want faith, and you know where faith comes from, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You show me a person that got word, I'll show you a person that got faith. But you show me a person that ain't got no word, I'll show you a person who ain't got no faith. You can pray for faith all day, all night, all week, all month, all year, but if you ain't got no word in you, then you ain't going to have no faith. So he places emphasis upon the word carrier, because the word for minister, watch this, and I don't want to lose y'all, is huperangte in the Greek. Huper means under. Ragte means rower. In essence, he's the under rower. He's that person that keeps the ship going. Now, you don't see him, you just see the ship. Now, sometimes back in Bible days, they used the under rower. They would get some low down nasty folks that didn't look like anything. They didn't have much life. They would hide them, but they kept the ship rowing. And that's why you see some people carrying the word. You would never have called them. Matter of fact, you don't think much about them since they've been called. To be honest, you don't think God had anything to do with them. But you didn't call them. God called them. Matter of fact, I had some problems with myself. So I talked to Paul about it. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this treasure an earthen vessel, and this earthen vessel was a clay pot that they would take the clay pot and they would put valuable items in the pot. And sometimes they would put documentation, sometimes they would put treasure in the pot, sometimes they put gold and silver, sometimes they would keep food in the pot, but because the pots were fragile, they would crack under pressure. And when the pots would crack, they would take the items out of the pot, and they would put lights in the pot. And by the pots cracking, the lights would shine through the pots. Paul says, listen, Pastor, you ain't nothing but a cracked pot, that God is letting the light shine through you. Y'all, I enjoy how much people telling me how nice I am. I enjoy how well they tell me I can preach. I enjoy them picking me up when I'm in revival and carrying me everywhere I want to go, flying me in to do revivals, bringing me fruit, bringing me water, putting me in nice hotels, putting napkins and towels around my neck, and all that kind of stuff. But I know the truth. I know, and I don't care what they say about me, it ain't as bad as I really am. I'm really just a cracked pot that God is letting his light shine through. He said, who bear record of the word. Yeah, I got to leave this alone. Who bear record of the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us what we need to do with the word. He says, study to show thyself approved. In essence, and he said rightly, which means to cut it straight. And sometimes when you're guilty yourself, you try to own to what you say. Sometimes when you're guilty, you try and jump over what you want to say. But the text says that you've got to cut it straight. Because, you see, Paul was a tent maker, and in making tents, he had to cut the material straight so he could seam it up right. He could sew it up right. If it had jagged edges in the material, he would sew it, and when he would fix the tent would leak. And every Sunday, the truth be told, folks come in church with leaking tents. And if you don't cut the word straight, they'll leave and get wet while they're out in the world. But when you cut it straight, because you know the word has two edges, it cuts coming and it cuts going. It cuts the accused and the accuser, the convict and the convictor, the condemned and the condemner. It cuts you in the pew as well as me in the pulpit. And y'all, a whole lot of Sundays when I get through preaching, I don't want to shake no hands. I don't want to hug nobody. And it's not that I'm trying to act funny. It's the fact that I'm bloody, and I need to rush to the office and get some Band-Aids and put on myself. I know folks want to hug me and shake my hand, but I need to get somewhere so I can stop the bleeding myself, because I know I'm preaching to myself. So watch this, and I'm closing. Who bear record of the word. Now, sometimes when the Bible says the word, it has reference to the written word, but sometimes when the Bible says word, it has reference to Jesus, because you can't separate Jesus from the word, and that's why as believers we have to stand on the word. That's our only means of salvation, is standing on Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:24-28. He says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. For whosoever heareth these things and doeth it not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house on sand. The rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and great was the fall thereof." He said, when you hear these things and doeth them, he said, you got to know you're building on your house. You see, the Bible compares us as being houses. You heard Joshua say, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." You heard Isaiah say to Hezekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order." You heard Paul say in 2 Corinthians, and we know that if this earthly house, you heard Jesus say in John 14:2, "And my Father's house." You see, every time you hear the word, you're building on your house. Every time you come to church on Sunday, you're putting nails in your house. I didn't understand what my mama was saying when I was a boy. She had me get on my knees and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." What she was doing, she was having me build on my house, because mama knew what I didn't know, that sooner or later rain was coming. And I wonder, is there anybody on the line who knows that rain is going to come? And you can handle it if you just have rain. But if enough rain comes down, then floods are going to rise up. And you can handle it pretty good if you just got rain coming down and flood coming up. But the devil won't leave you alone. He'll let the wind blow against you. And if you got something going down, something coming up, and something blowing against you, if you're not on a firm foundation, your house is going to fall. So let me let you go with this. Who bear record of the word and of the testimony. Now, in the Greek text, the word record and the word testimony is the same word. He said, and bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And you know, to be able to have a testimony, you've got to go through a test. And, you know, many times we run from testing grounds. But, you know, what I've discovered, it's not the good days that make you, but it's the rough days that make you. And I've learned that it's not the pat on the backs that make you, but it's the shovels that's digging ditches for you. It's not the folks that hug you every Sunday, but it's the ones that scandalize your name on Monday, because they're the ones that's sending you to your knees. They're the ones that send you to the Word. They're the ones that will have you getting to church before church starts. In other words, they're helping you to develop spiritual muscle. And that's why it's good sometimes to have two or three enemies in your life, because you need them to be able to step a little higher, because the Lord said, "I'll make your enemies your footstool." And you know what a footstool is for. It helps you reach some stuff that you couldn't reach. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Y'all know that scripture. So instead of fighting your enemies, write them a thank you letter. And say, "Honey, I want to thank you for helping making me who I am." He said, "Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." And I'm wondering, is there anybody who really has a testimony? You know, if it hadn't been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you'd be. But thank God for what you had to go through. And let me say it one more time. Thank God for what I had to go through. And I'm talking to somebody who says, "You know, preacher, I've been here a long time, and I ain't been through nothing yet. But can I tell you what it is?" You see, God says, and he works certain folks through folks that he can trust with trouble. that some people, if they went through a little stuff, you have to bury them tonight. But there are other folks like Job who say, though you slay, yet will I trust you. You know, I thank God for my rough times. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times that I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation to let me know my trials only come to make me strong. I thank God for every mountain and every valley in my life. I thank God for every storm he brought me through. And you know, declared victory, if I've never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them. Because the time is at hand. Through it all, I've learned how to trust in Jesus. But most of all, I've learned how to trust in his word. May God bless you. May God keep you as I pass the call.
Wow. God, I just thank you today just for being able to breathe the breath of life. God, I thank you for keeping us through the night, bringing us to the dawning of a new day. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your mercy. God, you said your mercies are new to us every morning. And for that, I'm so grateful because, God, you didn't have to wake us up. You didn't have to keep us through the night, but you did. And for that, I'm so grateful. God, I thank you for Renee for greeting and hosting. I thank you for Tracy for that scripture and songs. And I thank you for Pastor Lavelle's heart share on the word of God. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for building me up, for building each and every one up on this call that study your word and apply your word. God, you said the biggest thing when we're studying is to get life application and walk it out in our salvation. So, God, I thank you this morning for your word, for being able to study your word for myself, being able to come to you for myself and intercession, being able to bring my petitions before you and not go through a third party. For God, I thank you that your word is universal. I thank you, Lord God, for your love, your unconditional love. So, God, I give your name praise and honor today because you are holy God, and you call us to be holy people. God, I just bless your name. I praise you this morning. I give honor to you. So, God, I come this morning interceding on behalf of your people. God, I thank you for those who will come after me, Lisa, Eric, and Carol. God, I just bless your name and bless them, God, and bless them indeed. Bless Pastor Lavelle for that word. And God, I pray that you continue to keep him in your grace and your mercy. Guard his heart and mind and his thoughts, oh God. Be a thought regulator, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, just keep his heart right. And Father, I pray that you're always on the throne of his heart this morning. God, and always. So, God, I come to you this morning lifting up Josiah. Lord God, I don't know what's going on, but God, you are the God that knows everything. So, Father God, I lift him up to you this morning to touch his heart, touch his mind, touch his body with your finger of love. Whatever it is, bring healing to his body. And, God, I pray over his mother, Dion, the one who you've given this vision to and brought it to pass. Can someone please mute your phone? God, I thank you this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I just give you praise, Lord God, and I thank you for what you're doing in Dion's life, oh God. God, just strengthen her right now, for I know when things are going on with your children, I know the love of a mother. So, God, I just pray that you ease her heart, oh God. Father God, encourage her. Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray most of all that you strengthen her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, God. And I just pray that you keep her in your grace and your mercy. I pray over her mother, Miss Jackie, and her other children. God, just keep them in your grace and your mercy. God, cover them, Father God, with your protection, your banner of protection. So, God, and I lift
those up for healing this morning. Pastor Michael E. Hill, God continue to heal his body. Whatever is going on in him, God give him a speedy recovery. Father God, and I lift the Ella family up to you and the loss of their loved ones. For God, you said those who mourn shall be comforted. So God, all those who have lost loved ones this morning, I pray that you keep them in your grace and your mercy. Bring healing and closure to them, O God. Father God, give them a peace of mind, O God. Give them peace, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, and let the healing begin, Father God, in their mind, body, and spirit, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the Mack family. Father God, give them harmony in their home, harmony with one another. Teach them how to resolve conflict among one another, Lord God. Father God, you said to do everything to keep the peace. So, God, let us find ways in you, Father God, to have rest and to have harmony and to love one another. God, for you call us to love one another as we love ourselves. And you said no one hates themselves. So, God, teach us to love those who aren't like us, O God. Teach us to love others as you have loved us, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you praise today. I thank you for the love in my heart. And I thank you for the love on this call, God. I thank you for each and every one on this call and each and every prayer request that wasn't spoken this morning. But, God, you know the hearts of all your children, all your creation. So, God, I just lift them up to you today, those spoken and those unspoken. God, bless them and bless them indeed. Father God, giving your name the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Father, we thank you for this day. We give you glory and honor, God. We thank you for the opportunity to even come before you and just say good morning. God, we thank you for being God and being God all by yourself. God, we thank you for who you are, God, and what you've been in our lives and the things that you've done for us, God. But we just thank you for being our Father, for being our Lord, for being our Savior, for being our mind regulator, for being our heart fixer, for being the keeper of our souls and the lover of our souls, for being everything that we need you to be, even when we don't even realize that we need you. God, thank you for being a very present help in the time of trouble. Thank you, God, that you have been our strong tower. You said the righteous can run unto you and be safe. God, we do thank you for your word. God, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we thank you for your word as we have etched it on the tablets of our heart, God, that we will not sin against you, God. And when we do, God, we have an advocate, God. We have the ability to come before you and ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. Continue to purge and prune us, God, to make us and form us and mold us and conform us into the image of your Son. God, I thank you that your word is sharp and powerful, God, that is able to cut, God, and then yet heal, God. We thank you, God, that you've given us everything in this life that we need pertain to life and godliness. God, thank you for being a good Father that gives us good gifts. God, we thank you. God, we bless you for who you are, God. And we love you, God. God, for everything that you have done, God, that we couldn't have done for ourselves, God, for the doors that you've opened, even for the doors that you've closed, we say thank you. God, we thank you for our families. God, continue to give us people and surround us with people that love us, God. Continue to help us to see, God, what you're doing, God, in the lives of others, God, so we're not quick to judge and be cynical and critical, God, but to love people. God, you said by loving kindness have I drawn you, and by the love we have for one another will people know that we're your disciples. Help us to love one another, God. We thank you for the family and institution that you ordained and established. God, help us to be quick to forgive, God. Help us to walk in love, God. Help us to keep no record of wrong, God. Help us, God, to remember that love covers a multitude of sins and faults. God, we thank you. God, we thank you even for those that are single, God, desiring marriage, God, that you would strengthen them, God, in the waiting season, God, that you would equip them and continue to prepare them to be joined to someone, Father. I thank you, God, that we need to be complete, God, in you before we can be complete in someone else. God, we thank you for that information, that knowledge, that revelation, that illumination in that area, God. We pray for our children, God. Thank you for Josiah. Thank you for the healing, God, whatever it is you already know and you've already met, God, before it even came about. But you know our thoughts are far off. You know everything before it even happens, God, and nothing catches you by surprise. And God, you are able. So we thank you in advance, and we bless you for that, God. For all of our children, God, starting back to school, we pray, God, a hedge of protection around them, that you would cover them and that you would keep them, God, that you would give them a clear mind, God. Give them a receptive spirit, God, that they're able to learn those things that have been set before them. God, we thank you. We thank you for every distraction, God, in the name of Jesus, because they only come to make us, God, closer to you, God. We bless you because we can press, God. We can press through anything, God. We glorify you, God, because you are great. We thank you for our enemies, God. We thank you because they are making us stronger, God. As Pastor said, they're pushing us to our knees, God, but we don't give them any place. We don't give them any priority. God, our eyes are focused and fixed on you. God, we thank you, God, for relationships of friendships, God. We thank you that people come into our lives for reasons and seasons and times, God. Help us to not be mistaken by why they come, God, but help us to get every single lesson that you have for us in their coming. Father, we thank you and bless you, God. We glorify you, God. I pray, God, that you continue to bless Diane, that you continue to bless her mother, Lily, God, that you continue to bless those things, God, concerning every single victor on this call, God. For those in need of healing, God, you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth us, God. You said that healing is the children's bread, God. You said your word was sent forth and it healed. So in the name of Jesus, we send forth your word, God, and we believe only, God, and we do not doubt. God, help us to be found in faith when you return, God. Like the Hebrew boys, if you don't deliver, God, we know that you are able, for we do not know your plans, but we simply pray in faith. God, we bless you. We thank you, God. Touch the minds of your people, God. Help us to know who we are consistently, continually, God, in you, and that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned. Thank you, God. We bless you. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call.
And Heavenly Father, as I stand in agreement with those who have come before me in prayer, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you that you loved us enough, Lord, to call us back once again to this land of living, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, we understand, Lord, that you have called us, Lord, because you still have a purpose in our lives. And for this, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for grace, Lord, that knows no boundaries, Lord. Lord, we thank you for mercy, Lord, that knows no limit, Lord. Lord, we thank you just for the sacrifice, Lord, that you gave, Lord. Lord, that you came, Lord, that you loved us enough, Lord, that you couldn't even bear the thought of being separated for us for an eternity, so that you came in the form of a man, that you mingled with us, Lord, that you sympathized, Lord, that you presented us a perfect picture of the Father and his love. Lord, that you healed and that you taught, Lord, and that you served and that you ministered, Lord, and ultimately died and shed your blood on the cross, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that on that third day, Lord, you rose up, Lord, with all power, Lord, over the grave, Lord, and victory over death, Lord, and the keys of heaven in your hand, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can go forth today, Lord, knowing that we have power and we have authority, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, to the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the declaration, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, that convicts us, Lord, that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. We thank you for the testimony, Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have a basic instructions, Lord, before we leave earth, Lord, that we have a manual, Lord, that addresses everything that we will and we are to witness, Lord, and to come against, Lord, in this lifetime, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, for all of our politicians, Lord, all of our public servants, Lord. Lord, I pray for the incumbents, Lord, as well as the newly elected, Lord, who will take office. Lord, I pray, Lord, that that you are endowed with them with compassion, Lord. And Lord, as they make policies, Lord, and enact laws, Lord, that it be for each and every person on in this country, Lord. Lord, give them a mind, Lord, to have compassion, Lord, and have sympathy as well as empathy for the constituents, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, and I lift up, Lord, our President Barack Obama, Lord, in the waning days of his office, Lord. Continue to give him wisdom, Lord. Protect him, Lord, from the sniper's bullets, Lord. Lord, in time of crisis, Lord, let him be able to guide this country, Lord, through all types of trouble, economic, Lord, terrorist, Lord, war, Lord. Anything that comes against the United States, Lord, let him be able to withstand it, Lord. Surround him, Lord, and continue to surround him with godly and wise counsel, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, I lift up our public servants, Lord. I lift up the names of Bishop Bob Jackson, Pastor Kevin Hope, Pastor Ricky L. Nutt, and Pastor Ricky J. Nutt, Pastor George Brown, Pastor Mary Stutz, Pastor Gary Montara, Pastor David Fassel, Pastor William Coleman, Pastors Derry and Tammy Moulton. Lord, I pray for Pastor Bessie Sims and Pastor Ricky Williams, Pastor Lloyd Farr and Pastor Patrick Foster, Pastor Kevin James and Ken Foreman and Pastor Kurt Foreman. Lord, I lift up Dr. David and Kathy Canistrasy, Pastor Terrence Nichols, Pastor Stan Martin, Overseer Jeremiah Martin, Pastor Kevin B. Hall, Pastor Isaac Neal, Pastor William Coleman, Pastor Don T. Jones, Pastor Jan Hunter Sr., Pastor Tamara Bennett. Lord, we pray for Pastor C.L. Willis and Bishop Laurie Mann and Pastor E.F. Brown and Apostle D. Christmas, Bishop J.W. Macklin and Pastor Steve Thorner. Lord, we lift up the names of Pastor Renee Winston and Bishop D.J. Williams and Pastor Kirkland Smith, Pastor Joe Nobles, Pastor Archie Leviath Sr. and Jr., Pastor Claudel Huey, Pastor James Bryan, Pastor Decoy Porter, Pastor Ellington Porter, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Lavelle Jones, Bishop Reams, Pastors Brandon and Maria Reams. Lord, we pray for Dr. Freddie and Deata Parham, Pastor Oscar Dace, Pastor J.R. Coleman, Pastor Johnny Raleigh, Pastor E.K. Dawson, Pastor Aaron Hutchison, Pastors Michael E. Hale and Pastor Aurelius Walker, all the pastors in Las Vegas. Lord, we lift up the names of Dr. Dave Early and Pastor Lester L. Cannon Sr., Pastor C. Christopher Smith, Pastor Santos Howard, Pastor Glenn Bartle, Pastor James Kambugu, Pastor Craig Dawson, Pastor Carlton Leonard, Bishop Charles E. Blake, Pastor Patrick Weaver, Pastor David Burris, Pastor Leonard Drew Sr., Pastor James Broughton, Pastor Horatio S. Jones, Pastor Timothy Dupree. Lord, we pray for Pastor Byron Holloway and Pastor Frank Dace, Pastor Audra Williams, Pastor Kevin McCullough, Pastor David Jackson, Bishop Sean Teal, Pastor O'Neill Young, Pastor Curtis Robinson, Pastor Shelley Wilson, Pastor Victor S. Bryce, Pastor Benson, Pastor Gort, and Dr. Warren H. Stewart Sr., and Bishop Dr. Jackie Green. Lord, we pray, Lord, that these names and all the pastors around this country and around the world, Lord, be endowed with a double portion of your anointment, Lord. Give them a right now word, Lord. Lord, give them patience, Lord, in all their pastoral duties, Lord. Lord, protect them, Lord, embolden them. Guide and strengthen them and their families, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up every mother, every father, son, daughter, niece, and nephew, Lord, who is taking the oath of office, Lord, the oath to protect us, Lord, in the military, Lord, from all hurt, harm, and danger, all terrorist activities, whether domestic or foreign, Lord, who protect our borders here and abroad, Lord. Lord, be with them, Lord, in the battlefields, Lord, on the ships, Lord, in foxholes, Lord, in bases, Lord, in encampments, wherever they are, Lord, wherever they represent the interest and the security of us, Lord. Keep them, Lord. Keep them as they guard our embassies, Lord. Keep them as they escort our president, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, if they should be found in battle, Lord, give them courage, Lord, and pull them through. Bring them home safely from their enlistments, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that every homeless vet, Lord, be found shelter, Lord. Those who are dealing with mental afflictions, Lord, such as PTSD, Lord. Give them peace of mind and clarity of vision, Lord. Lord, I pray for, Lord, the National Guardsmen who have been activated in Wisconsin, Lord. Lord, as they deal with the domestic situation and the riots, Lord, in Milwaukee, Lord, let cool hearts and calm heads prevail, Lord. Keep their fingers off the trigger, Lord. Keep them from impulsively shooting our citizens, Lord. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, that a spirit of peace, Lord, reign above that city right now, Lord. I pray and I come against all crime, Lord, in all major urban cities, Lord, in every town, in every village, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we be beacons of light, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we just be crackpots, allowing your light to shine through, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you gird us and that you prepare us, Lord, for the rains, Lord, that will come, for the storms that will appear, Lord, for the time of trouble that shall come, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Give us endurance, Lord, to run this race, Lord, until we will hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in few things. I will make you faithful over everything. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But until that time, Lord, we will continue to work as we wait, Lord. We will continue to watch, Lord. We will continue to proclaim your gospel, Lord. And we will continue to give you praise, glory, and honor in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, as I pass the call.
Mr. Carroll, we can't hear you. Father God, we just continue to lift your name up on this morning. If we can all take our phones off of mute and join in corporate praise on this morning. God, we just thank you on this
morning.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we call you great, Lord. We call you awesome, Lord. We lift your name upon high, Lord, today, Lord. High above every situation.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
High above
you
all.
You are magnificent, oh God.
We will
thank
praise
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
You
hallelujah.
Will praise all things, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Our trials and our tribulations, Lord. We give you
praise. Thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind, oh God. Thank
your
you,
name
God,
is
for everything
name.
That you have done in our life. We thank
hallelujah.
You for blessing our body this morning, oh God.
Thank you for life, life more abundant.
We thank you for strength, oh
God.
God. Like
God. Hallelujah, Lord.
God. We thank
praise
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
We praise you with a
hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh,
yes, God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. The Lord. Glory.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, Lord.
Continue to watch over us and bless
love
us and guide
today,
us, oh God.
Love you
keep
today, Lord.
Focused
we worship you, Lord.
For the things that we cannot see, oh God. Anoint our footsteps, oh God.
Thank
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We thank you, God. We love you with everything that's within us.
Hallelujah.
We pray that you continue to bless us and keep us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord, for blessings today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us today, Lord. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We praise you today, Lord. We love you, Lee. We love you, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. And as we enter into our praise and fellowship, Lord, as we enter into our discussion, Lord, we will continue to give you praise, glory, and honor in all things, Lord, and today, Lord, and tomorrow, and in the days to come, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Praise you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Hello again, and welcome to Declare Victory. My name is Renee, and I have been your hostess on this morning. Are there any first-time callers that have joined and would like to say hello? Are there any victors who have since joined us and would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you.
Good morning, Sarge.
What's up, Rodal?
Good morning, family. This is Rose.
Good morning, sis. Anybody else want to say good morning? Okay, well, I hope the call has been a blessing to you so far, and pray that you'll join us in the Love, Life, and Victory conversation. Awesome word, as always, Pastor. Good to hear your sound, and I will now pass the call over to you. Peace and love.
Thank you, Sister Renee. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Let me see, Sister Diane, Brother Eric, and Sister Tanya for praying. Again, to Sister Tracy for the scripture. It's been a while, so I guess let's jump in. Any aha moments or anything in the declaration?
Hello, Pastor.
Yep.
Brother. Once again, I just love to. I appreciate, like you, I'm a person that I'm a word person too. I love to hear the word preached as well as taught. I love how you just paint a picture and how you give the meanings of words, especially. You just make the image just come in my mind when I thought about the clay pots and how you got to cut the word straight and how the word just connects us. You know, that's one of the beautiful things I think about the word of God. It connects us, and a person who applies the word can see how it applies to all aspects of our life. When you talk about cutting the word straight, and you gave that image of a tent, and even how the tent connects to the sanctuary, because that's the first sanctuary. When God told Moses to make me a tent so that I can dwell among a people. So I want to cut the word straight because the word says that we are temples. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to be leaking. You know, I want my word to be cut straight so that I may be a tent that is worthy for the presence of God. So I just want to thank you for your declaration. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. I think it's so important that we engraft ourselves in the word of God, and many people don't, and that's why they can be misled and deceived, because they're depending, we ought not just depend on our pastor, we ought to depend on him, whoever's teaching us to cut it straight, but it's up to us to make sure that we get what we need from the word. So it kind of bothers me when people say, oh, I'm not being fed, I'm at that church, but I'm not being fed. Well, my question is, are you applying yourself? Because the word is rich. It is so, so rich. And I think I was talking to a pastor yesterday. He says, Jones, God gave you a specific people for a specific purpose. And he said, everybody can't eat everything. He says, your people at your church, God has got you to prepare their diet just for them. And I think that's very, very important that we understand that. Amen. Anyone else?
Yeah, good morning, brother. Amazing declaration. Thank you for that. I agree with Brother Eric. This is Dee Dee. If you can't catch my voice this morning, I'm a little hoarse. But just like Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So if there's no word in you, like you said, where's your faith if you don't know the word of God? So I appreciate what you said, and you're right. You cannot say you're not being fed if you're not applying what you're hearing. So I appreciate it and have an ear to hear. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you, and I, too, I love the word of God, and I know as of late I have really been digging. It's like I'm just hungry for more, because with every problem this world gives us, there's a solution in this Bible. And if you just search the word, it'll give you an answer. And you so broke it down. I love the way you just broke down scripture. So you gave me such a refreshment this morning that I needed. So I love you, man of God, and just continue to do what God has called you to do. I love you to life, and you know that. Your sister always covers you and lifts you up, and God has great things for you. And that crackpot clay, oh, my God. I was so – that just blessed my soul, because me too. Like you said, who going to listen to her with her raggedy life and the things that she done but God? So I thank you, brother, and I love you.
Thank you, Didi, and I appreciate just what you said, because one thing, my prayer is, Lord, don't let the phone stop ringing. And I tell you, it has not stopped ringing. And you all know I moved my church from Stockton to Sacramento, and I'm also still working with Pastor Bernardo at the 11 o'clock hour at Macedonia. And I have Tuesday night Bible study. I have Thursday night Bible study. And I got a call from a church in Stockton. Now, I already left Stockton, y'all, but I got a church that called me the other day wanting to meet with me. They don't have a pastor and want me to teach their Bible study on Wednesday night and preach for them on Sunday. So I don't know how I'm going to do it, but if the Lord gives it to me, then I'm going to do it, because I love God's word. I love his word, and I want people to be excited about the word. I know when I preach or teach, I want people to get excited to know that Jones is teaching. Just like when I know Lisa Porter is teaching or something, I get excited. When Tanya's teaching, I get excited. Dee Dee's teaching, I get excited, because I know they're going to give me something good and something that's going to be applicable that I can take back with me. So thank you, Dee Dee. I love God's word. I do. Anyone else?
Yeah, good morning.
Dr. LaBelle, this is Diane.
Hi.
I just want to say thank you for that word. I enjoy when the word is being broken down, not just, you know, because it makes me, it helps me when I'm studying. I dig, because I want more of God. And like Dee Dee was saying, you know, when you start to dig and you start to see the squirrels in the text, and it just draws you, makes you dig more, because I want more God. I want to really know God, and I want to experience him more each time I'm in the word. And when I hear the word being broken up like that, you know, because we think we know it all. We never know it all. When you start talking, you're like, you know, even though it's things that I've heard before, but you know, when it's brought back to your remembrance, you think about that word and how, when you heard it, how it penetrates, and how the word that God speaks. He said the word is all scripture is God breathed. God breathed into us those words, and it's to get it into us. And the greatest thing God wants us to do is to get life application out that word, not to just dig it up and to keep it for ourselves, but to walk it out in our lives, to walk it out in our salvation, to share it with somebody. So I enjoyed your declaration today. And when you start bringing those words that I heard before, hupotasso, which is a word that I heard in Bible study, and when you start to speak those things, it's like it just brought joy to my heart. I love hearing the word teached, and not preached, but taught, so that people can get it and understand it and take it and dig it and test it for themselves, because that's what we're supposed to do, not just hear the word you know, and go on somebody else's teaching, but to take it on like the Bereans and dig deeper for ourselves so that God can speak to us and teach us through the Holy Spirit of what he's saying. I enjoyed your word. God bless you. Continue to do what you do. And I thank God for his grace and mercy upon your life. I love you, brother.
Thank you, my sister. God bless you, too. And to one else.
Yeah, this is Kedra. And I'm thankful for your declaration this morning. When you said that you be bleeding yourself, I could totally relate to that after preaching or after receiving the word. You know, people be thinking something be wrong with me, but after I be receiving that word, I've been cut, you know? So I be having to separate myself to go pray and to go heal and to go figure out how I'm going to apply it to my life so that I can be that broken pot, you know? The word does say it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and this is just like confirmation for me. This declaration is confirmation for me because I was just studying yesterday, and somebody asked me, it was like, well, what are you doing? I was like, I'm reading my word, get back, it'll cut you. So this is just confirmation for me, and I thank God that you did present this declaration so that I could just dig deeper into the word, because without the word, I mean, you don't have anything to go off of, you know, and just to have that life application of knowing that you got God's word, the basic instructions before leaving life, if I want the answer to anything, or if any of us as Christians want the answer to anything, all we got to do is just dig into that word, you know, and God would lead you through the scriptures or whatever it is that you need to know into what you need to do. So I just praise God, and I thank God for you and this declaration and a confirmation that it revealed to me about being in his word more. Hey, man, that's all I got.
Let me say this to you, Kendra. I posted this on Facebook, and nobody hit it. Nobody. Nobody liked it. Nobody did anything. The African-American church is always excited about growth until the pastor asked them to come to growth sessions,
mm-hmm.
meaning Bible study or a modern-day real Sunday school setting. What they've called church growth has been folks joining the church. But hear me well when I say you can have a giant congregation filled with midgets.
Come on. I haven't been on Facebook in almost a year, but, you know, when as I continue to meditate on God's word and, you know, I'm spirit-led or whatever it is, I will return to Facebook, you know what I mean, because I don't want to be distracted, because I'm in a discipleship, and I don't want to be distracted from being founded on that rock, you know, my purpose of being here, I'm here eating up this word 24/7, you know, so thank God for you, and, you know, in due season, I thank God for all of the Claire Victory family, and I'm excited about what God is doing in all of our lives, and what he's brought us through, and the testimonies and, you know, the trials to get to our triumphs because, you know, he's not finished yet, though. So,
Amen. I'm excited because I got another two classes at 9 o'clock this morning. So I got to teach two more classes. I'm teaching teachers this morning. So I'm up, wired, getting ready to go do that. So I'm just excited. I'm excited about everything God is doing where his word is concerned. Anyone else? Thank you, Kendra.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Lavelle. It was so good to hear you sound. And I loved, like Davey said, the analogy about the cracked pots. And, you know, because Jesus says that we are the light. You know, we're like a light that sits, or Jesus said, God's word saying, you know, we're like a light that sits on a hill and people are attracted to that light and, you know, you can hide it under a bushel if you want to. Some kind of way that light will still shine. I also had to suck my breath in and clutch my pearls when you said that church growth, you can have a mega-sized church full of midgets. I'm telling you, that was a good one right there. I might have to steal that from you.
It's yours. And you know what, Tan? I mean, people always get excited about church growth until you ask them to come to growth sessions. And that's Bible study. That's Sunday school. Anybody can pack out a church on Sunday, but where they at Monday through Saturday, when the word is, when you can ask questions. You can't ask questions on Sunday morning. And churches are not growing. Churches are swelling. And what happens if your arms swell, there's an effect, there's an infection somewhere. And when there's an infection, then sooner or later it's going to require surgery. You know, so many people are asking about my new work in Antelope, my new church in Antelope and stuff. And my brother Robbie, who's one of the managers of CP Bannon Mortuary, and he pastors Community Reform Church. A lady lives in Sacramento. She's looking for a church, and he gave her my number. She called me yesterday, and she asked me what I was teaching, was it no nonsense and stuff, because she had heard about me and stuff. And you know, that makes me excited when people are asking, because people don't want to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. They want some good, solid teaching, y'all. That's why I presented that lesson this morning. The time is at hand. Y'all, time is winding up. The time is now for us to get busy and be about the Father's business and be those clay pots, those lights in those clay pots. Amen. All right, come on. Who is that?
It's Didi. I was just saying what Tanya said, too, about the midgets and the, you know, the church isn't growing, it's swelling. That's such a good analogy, and I'm glad you shared that. And also the word, because sometimes I know I'm like you. God has given me such an ear to hear, and it's getting sharper. So when I'm listening to a message, and I think Diane or somebody spoke to it too, I don't want to be preached at. I want to be taught so that I can get something out of it. But I have been, like you said, to huge churches, or people have certain, you know, followers, or they have certain pastors, or they have certain motivational speakers that they'll go flock and listen to. But during the week, or doing, like you said, they're not going to Bible study, they're not doing anything, but they'll show up on Sunday, they'll show up at a convention and hooping and hollering, but there's nothing, if I'm making any sense, it's like I'm listening to the same word that they're hearing, but I'm not falling out and screaming because I'm honestly not getting anything out of it. So I'm just making sure there's nothing wrong with me, if what I'm saying makes any sense. Has it become, in some instances, like an entertainment, or people just have, you know what I'm saying, certain people that they want to hear from? Maybe they're charismatic, or they just, you know what I mean, some people just have certain people that they'll hear. Even going to churches, there's certain pastors that some of us may not listen to. But I think if you listen and hear the word, you can get the word. Or you can get a word. It might not be the word. It should be a word. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure this out, because it boggles me sometimes when I'll hear people tell me, oh, that man preached his face off, and I listen to what they heard, and I don't get anything from it. So am I missing it?
No, I think you're not missing it, Dee Dee. And you got to understand, your appetite is, it's just like you can't just go to McDonald's. You let me tell y'all something. McDonald's, because I'm eating right and I'm eating better and my diet is so much better, I'm like you, Dee Dee. I can't just go listen to any and everybody. I can't. And I'm just not going to get out of my bed and go listen to any and everybody. I have my picks and chooses, too. Don't get me wrong. Now, let me go back to hooping. I'm a hooper among hoopers. But when it comes to Sunday morning now, I don't hoop on Sunday morning. I teach. But now when I go out to a 3 o'clock service and stuff, now I'm going to give you a great lesson first, and then I'll go on and close. And the reason I close is because Isaiah says, cry loud and spare not. Lift your voice like the sound of a trumpet. In essence, if your house catch on fire, you don't want the fire truck coming through town playing jazz, do you? No, you want him to sound the horn. It's a form of crying. But I think before a preacher hoops, he needs to give you a real relevant word that you can apply. I wholeheartedly believe that with my heart. You don't just get up there hooping and hollering and all that and ain't said nothing. You know, you better say something. In essence, learn me something before you scream at me. And that's how I feel. That's just how I feel. But your appetite is of such that you can't eat junk, Dee Dee. And y'all, that ought to be all of us. And I'm like you, Dee Dee. When people say, "Ooh, he preached," I'd be like, "Where? When?"
Can I share an experience? Excuse me, not to interrupt you. Were you finished?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to share. So this is Kendra again. So from experience, I go to a study twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. And it's a different person that teaches or delivers a message Monday through Thursday. And, you know, I'm a hooper too, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm going, you know, if I'm getting fed and I understand the teaching and I can relate to it, you know, it's an amen, it's a talk about it, you know, that's me, you know, I am congregating. But then there are days that, where particular people teach, I don't hoop, and it's not to be discriminative or anything, to discriminate or anything like that, but I am quiet and I'm listening so that I can be fed, you know, so that if there is a message or something that is going to be delivered, I can receive it. So I can totally relate to where, to what Dee Dee's saying and what you're saying also, Pastor Lavelle, because of the fact that, you know, you just can't eat anything, you know what I mean? For man should not live on bread alone, but hey man, that's all, you know, that's just what I wanted to share was my life experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And you know what? It's okay. There's some people who don't like hooping, and that's okay. If that's your appetite, no one should be say you're wrong for that or anything like that. I go both ways. I can go either way, you know. I just want a great message. And then if you can top it off with some gravy, like next week starting tomorrow, I took off work just for this. Next week is the citywide revival in Oakland. The morning session's at Star Bethel, and then the night session is at Good Hope Baptist Church. And y'all, two of my mentors are preaching morning and night. Dr. Tellis Chapman from Detroit, Michigan, and Dr. Frank Ray from Memphis, Tennessee. And they are two of my all-time favorite preachers in this world, and I know they're going to give a great word because they always do, but then they're going to shut that thing down with hooping. They're going to close it, and it's gravy for me, and good meat will make his own gravy. So, okay. Anyone else?
Good morning, Pastor Lavelle.
Hey, so Jeff.
I'm going to have to listen to the playback because I came in on the tail end of your message this morning when you was sharing about having a couple of enemies in your life that would keep you, help us to kneel down and pray. And for some reason, praying for my enemies with a sincere heart that God bless them and provide them with all that he have provided me with. That's been up front for me lately. I'm grateful. I'm grateful today for declared victory. I want to thank everyone for praying for me yesterday, and I want to thank for, I think it was Brother Eric that filled in for me on the prayer line. I want to ask that you guys continue to pray for me. I'm feeling a bit better, but I'm still fighting this bug, but I want to continue to praise God and give him the glory that he's due. And so I just want to say thank you, Pastor Lavelle, for who you are and the way that you bring the message and declare victory over our lives. I, too, enjoy your teaching and always get a great deal out of your messages. So I'm going to have to listen to the entire playback. But I just want to say thank God for who he is. And I pray that he spark a fire up under me and cause me to study his word, to really get into his word and grow for myself. Because like you said, we just can't, flick the channel from one TV minister to the next and don't study the word for yourself. And that's where my growth is going to come from, is actually really diving into his word and studying it for myself. So thank you, Pastor LaVell, and the entire Declare Victory family. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. I have somewhat against tele-evangelists because most of them are prosperity preachers. They'll tell you if you don't have some money, something is wrong with your faith. Well, Acts chapter 3 proved against that because Peter and John had spiritual healing, but they didn't have no money. So, and we have to be careful of these prosperity preachers, and that's why we were just talking about, Brother Eric was talking about cutting it straight. You've got to cut it straight. And let me tell y'all something. Greedy preachers will say anything that itching ears want to hear, and itching ears will pay anything to hear what greedy preachers have to say.
Amen.
I can't get no help in here, but I know I'm right.
You got a witness. You got a witness.
All right, anyone else? Anyone else? It's important that we stay in God's word because it's the lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And you know what? You can defend against anything when you know the word. And us, since y'all folks can't just tell me the okie doke. They can't do it, you know. And I listen intently to preachers when they're preaching somebody, when they're teaching. It's not there for me to correct them or anything like that, but I listen because I don't want you up there just messing over God's word, because it's not to be messed over. And we all err sometime. I had to go to the doctor yesterday. A couple months ago, I had a bad accident at work. I T-boned somebody in my garbage truck. And nevertheless, it was her fault because she cut in front of me. But we were all right. But I messed up my knee, and I've been going to the doctor, and now I'm going to physical therapy and stuff. And he said, even though he's a doctor, he didn't know everything, you know. He had to consult another doctor to look at some things and all of that. And it's okay. It's okay because sometimes I have to consult somebody. When I look at a scripture or something and I want a better understanding or something, I have to consult somebody sometimes, more times than not, just to make sure I got the right understanding of this word, all right? Because when I present it, I want to make sure that I present it right. All right, anyone else? Anyone else?
I just want to say, this is your sister again, thank you, because, you know, you and I, we have our relationship. We're like brother and sister, and you have your King Jimmy, and I have my life application or my NIV, but I do thank you, because if I ever just need clarity, you know, and I will text one of my pastors as well, too, because they always give me clarity, but you are another good person that I can get a better understanding, you know, and as I get ready to turn a new age in November, the word is just becoming more clear. Scriptures that I've, you know, as you are taught to memorize scriptures as a child, but to get to know them and to truly apply them and get the meaning of them, that's where I'm at. So it's just a blessing to see that word come alive, and then you have people that you know, you know, and they break it down with you or give you the meaning of it, and if they don't know, they'll find out. So that's who you've become to me, and I appreciate it because I never told you that. The other brother of mine, Derek, he passed away, and he was that person. So he would call me and force me to go in a Bible study with him. So I just thank you because God always, always just gives you what you need when you need it. So that's what you've become, baby brother. I love you.
Thank you. Love you too, TD. Y'all, that's why TNT is so fun on Tuesday night. It is so fun on Tuesday night because it allows me to dialogue with everybody, people to ask questions, and we rightly divide that word together. And I don't just give it to them. I give them the lesson and make them study. Make them study the lesson so it's easier for me to teach when you study. And then I come back and break it down so they can get a better understanding of the word. And, y'all, it's not good when you don't get an understanding. Don't go to church confused and leave more confused. That's not good. You're spinning your wheels. You're spinning your spinners. You know, y'all know spinners, they don't have spinners really no more. Those went out of style real fast because the trip part about it, you can't see that they're spinning because you're driving. I thought I'd throw that in there. Anyone else?
Hey, yeah, man. Stick to preaching, okay? Stick to preaching. Anyway, you know, as I was thinking, and I'm probably not the only one. I know there are a few of us. I have like about 5 Bible apps on my phone, and I can appreciate a pastor that knows that they don't he or she doesn't have everything, and we all have our sources that we have to go to. But I was just wondering as I was looking up something I have to teach today, and the thought just hit me as I was going through this one thing, and I was looking at a one particular verse, and I just happened to go down and I saw how many versions of the Bible. Now, you know, when I grew up, you had one version, or one or two. You know, you had like your paraphrase version, the Living Bible. You had like the King James, or you might even have the American Standard Version. But you know, it's just a sign that God is preparing us now. You said earlier that, you know, that the time is now. You know, that this world is time is quickly winding up, and so it's just. It is wonderful now that in this age of internet, you know, we have Google, we have a multiplicity of Bible websites, so that if you don't have an understanding or if you have a question about any type of situation or subject, that you can just Google it. And, you know, and it'll give you the verse, it'll give you a commentary, give you a story. And if you don't like the King James, you have about 16 versions. And even if you want to go even deeper, you got the Hebrew and you have the Greek, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have to go to school like some of us had to and learn it, even though I'm glad to have that foundation. But, you know, if you're just a layman and you really just want to look up the etymology of a word, you know, you can just go right on your phone. So there's no excuse. And I think about, you know, I've talked with Mormons, you know, I've talked with of the Disciples of the Nation of Islam, I've talked with Jehovah Witnesses, and when they go out, and they're passionate about the evangelism, but when they go out, they know their word, they know the doctrine, they know the principles and everything, and so we've got to be we've got to be really stayed up in the word, because if we're not, you know, you have people out there who know the word better than you, who don't believe it, and will trip you up and get you tossed and turned and you know, get you doubting yourself. So, you know, even like I have my favorite pastors too, but every once in a while I like to listen to the apologetics. You know, like Robbie Zacharias and Ted White and Dr. R.C. Sproul, because I like, you know, to hear sometimes the word broken down and conditioned in a way that I can use it to defend the faith. So, you know, it's just wonderful how much God has provided us in avenues in order to study His word and then get a fuller understanding of it.
You know, the funny part about that. Those of you that have seen my library know I've got a library out of this world. I've got so many books, and I don't even use them no more because of what you just said. I don't even take my Bible to church no more. I take my iPad, and I think that, y'all, that's starting to get bad. And those of you that are still taking your Bible to church, that's good. That's a good thing. Continue doing that. But you're totally right, Eric. You can cross-reference something or whatnot. I got so many Bible apps on my iPad that I can press a word, and it gives me the breakdown of that word and all of that, because I'm a word man, and I do word study, because words that meant one thing back then don't mean the same thing now. And we've really got to be careful when we quote scriptures and stuff, thinking it means one thing. Because, for instance, one little word, ask, A-S-K, there's probably 10 to 12 to 14 different meanings of the word ask. If I had time, I'd break it down today, but I just don't have time. There's so many meanings of the word ask, A-S-K. So when you read the Bible, that's why it's important that, like Dee Dee said, the life application, because if you don't understand the King James Version or whatnot, you need to get something where you can understand it, because you'll be quoting scriptures and you'll be quoting them wrong. And I know many people that do that. Oh, I laugh when people quote scriptures to me, you know. It's just like my brother told me the other day. He said, "What's up, black man?" I said, "Well, first of all, black is an adjective, and I'm a noun." Person, place, or thing, get it?
The services that you said that's coming up, with some of the speakers that's coming, you said they're going to have some morning service and some evening service.
Yeah, every morning at 11 o'clock, they will put him up to preach at noon, because people come in on their lunch break. Hundreds of people come in on their lunch break at Star Bethel, and he's only going to preach long enough so you can get back to work right after your lunch break. YouTube him, Dr. Tellus Chapman. Tellus Chapman. Matter of fact, he texted me the other day because I found out he's coming to do the Sacramento Citywide Revival in a Passion Week. So Dr. Tellus Chapman and Dr. Frank Ray. At night at Good Hope Baptist Church right there, what is that, 50-something in Foothill? 58th and Foothill, right one block from seminary, right there. Get there early, because you will not get a seat. And that church holds probably 700-800. So, but get there early to get a seat, because it will be jam-packed, because this is the premier thing, quote-unquote, in the Baptist church in Oakland, because they have two citywide revivals, one during Passion Week, and then next week. I mean, it's so well, Brother Jeff, that I'm taking off work to be there. So, Star Bethel right there on Stanford and San Pablo. It starts at 11, and he'll be up to preach by noon, no later than noon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else before we conclude? It's 7:38. And I must get dressed to head to my next class. Anyone else? If there is nothing, I know that's right. I agree with that. Somebody just text me. I won't say the name. I'd rather be edified than entertained. I know that's right. I do miss doing declarations. I know we shut down Sundays, but I'm going to have one church in two locations very, very soon. So Sundays is just not going to work for me anymore, and I know we have to shut it down. But I'm always willing to fill in when somebody needs to take a break or whatnot. I'll be more than happy to cover for anyone, because I even decline stepped down as a supervisor at work, and somebody asked me last Friday, they said, Lavelle, why did you step down from being a supervisor? I said, well, it's 11 o'clock, and I'm finished, and they're not going to get off to 6 o'clock this evening doing paperwork. So, I mean, $4 more, less an hour ain't going to make me or break me. You know, I got my peace of mind, and I don't have to deal with the rigmarole. So I'm happy with what I'm doing. And then God has blessed me in ministry, so I'm doing what I'm doing in ministry. So very happy about that. So may God bless every last one of you. Remember, let's continue to pray for Dion and Brother Josiah. Whatever the situation is, we know that God is a healer. Amen. He is a healer. So I love every last one of you. I pray that you are blessed by the declaration today and the love, life, and victory. You all have a wonderful day in the Lord. If you want information about the revival for next week, morning and night, just inbox me or call me. If you got my number, text me and I'll send it to you. But you don't want to miss it. It's going to be blessed. I'm going to drive from Sacramento to Oakland every day just to be there. So that's how awesome it is. So you all have a wonderful day. And be
blessed. Are you going to put it in the room? Did you say that and I missed it?
I will.
Okay, thank you. And also for Patrick Foster's thing, is that coming up too, or did I miss it?
No, Patrick, I'm preaching for Pastor Patrick Foster. Was that the fourth Sunday of September?
Oh, okay.
The fourth Sunday of September, I'm the keynote speaker for his appreciation. And I know he wants declared victory to be there. It would be good to see everybody because we haven't seen each other in so long. So that's the fourth Sunday. It's in Richmond at Pastor Patrick Foster's church. We'll post it in the room again. And then I know they were announcing it, but I don't think they've been announcing it. So we'll make sure that it's announced all of next month. But it would be good. Don't miss it. You're going to get an awesome word. You're going to get an awesome. And I'm not just saying that because it's me, but I know me, and you're going to get an awesome word if you come. You won't be disappointed.
Amen.
All right?
Because I'm singing. Praise the Lord.
A, B, and C, and D selection, right?
No. We want people to come, D. We want people to come. So, okay.
Hey, Lavelle, this is Ruth.
Hey, it's Ruth.
Hey, can you end the call with that song, my favorite song, I Know It Was the Blood for Me?
What, say that again?
I said, can you end this call, or can Dee Dee sing, I Know It Was the Blood for Me?
Ruth, you want Dee Dee to sing it?
Yes.
Okay, well, Dee,
I'm not understanding where all this chuckling is coming from.
No, Dee.
I will not be laughed at.
I know it was the blood.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day, he died up on the cross, and I know it was love for me, yeah. Oh.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, as we end this call, knowing that it was your precious blood that you shed for us, the stripes that you endured when they beat you, hallelujah. They heal us today, God. But it is your life-changing blood that makes the difference. It's not someone's philosophy. Not how well someone can hoop or holler, not how educated they are, how many degrees that they have, how eloquent of speech that they are. Father, but it is your blood
yes.
that you allowed your son to shed for us on Calvary. the life-changing blood, the blood full of power, hallelujah, power to make us live right, to talk right, to pray right, to be right, to stay right. Your blood keeps us. If it had not been for your blood, my God, there could not be any remission of sin. So, God, in the name of Jesus, as we are about to end this call and go on about our day, we lift up Josiah Denham to you. We lift him up because we know that there is power in your blood. There's power in your name as well. And so we call on your name, Jesus the King, Jesus the Christ, the Lord of Lords, our Savior.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus, we lift him up. God, in the name of Jesus, you created his body. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus that his body lines up with your word.
Yes, Lord.
By your stripes, we are healed, God. We pray that you would comfort not only his mother, but his father, who is there with him at his side. We pray that you would comfort his siblings and his relatives, his grandmother, Jackie. God, that you would help them to be there to support one another. This is not a time for anyone to show up with their ego. This is a time for them to show up to comfort one another. And God, we pray that you give the medical staff the plan and how to treat him. Whatever that treatment plan is, God, that you give them exactly what to do. They won't have to try to figure out a plan too long, God. You give them. God, I pray for them now. I envision them now having a medical conference trying to determine what is the safest and the most appropriate approach for whatever the challenge is.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. I pray that all is well with Dion, that she has a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that we will exercise caution in reaching out to find out how she is, that we won't bombard her, God, because that can be overwhelming as well. But the most that we can do is to continue to pray for her and operate this call as we normally do. So it is in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray because of your blood. In the name of Jesus. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Tim. Amen.
Peace and love. Have a good day, y'all. Love you.
Have a good day, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Lavelle.
Be blessed.